Gaza health officials say some 60,000 people have been injured during the Israel-Hamas war. International organizations and healthcare workers in the region are stressing the profound need for more humanitarian aid as Israel's bombardment continues. Our next guest is a neurosurgeon from North Carolina who went to Gaza just a few weeks ago to offer help. Dr. David Husson joins us from Durham, North Carolina, to tell us what he saw. Dr. Husson, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Not everyone would choose to enter an active war zone, especially knowing that hospitals in Gaza have been targeted. Israel says it has discovered tunnels underneath them. Why did you want to go?
Seeing the news on a daily basis and also the social media and seeing innocent civilians, specifically kids, women, and elderly, have minimal access to health care during this period of time, it was no question that I needed to help as much as I can. And when that opportunity opened up, I did not hesitate. We were the first group to enter Gaza after October 7th, and there was a delegation from Canada, United States, and England. It's personal, feeling the guilt that I cannot help these innocent children, women, and elderly. And that was the opportunity, if you will.
You didn't hesitate to go, but you said you were prepared to not come back.
Absolutely. We were warned that the situation is dynamic and fluid, and on a daily basis, we're going to assess the situation. The idea came to fruition, I think it's around December 19th, 20th, and we were all waiting for the United Nations resolution to be passed. That's 2720. It called for aid and opening all the ports and help every way possible. So when that resolution was passed, we immediately bought the ticket within 24 hours and flew to Cairo and met there. And we were warned that there's a high possibility that things could change and either get trapped or injured during this mission.
Well, when you arrived in Egypt, you entered through the Rafah border crossing. What were you thinking as you drove into Gaza, and what did you see?
There were two things that struck me really hard. One is the inefficient process of transferring aid inside the Gaza. There were approximately 10 miles of 18-wheelers full of aid on both sides of the highway, four lanes, waiting to enter. There was the epitome of inefficiency of crossing this aid over there. And that was also frustrating because on the other side, when I entered, people have nothing. And this aid could make a difference, if you will. The second thing when I entered was the devastation that I saw. Almost buildings are carpet bombed, if you will. 70 to 80% of the buildings completely destroyed, and people in despair.
We've been hearing for months that the healthcare system in Gaza is hanging by a thread. What are the conditions in the hospitals, and what kind of work were you able to do?
Absolutely. The healthcare in Gaza is collapsed, if you will, and in a very dire conditions. In many ways, the hospitals are not functioning at all. There's only two or three hospitals out of the 35 that is functioning. There's no medical supplies at all at this point, or very minimal to carry complex operation. The non-communicable diseases have no infrastructure to take care for these patients. I was able to do several surgeries while there, mainly related to trauma, and one semi-elective surgery. So I did over 15 surgeries, and sometimes even without access to water to scrub and wash my hands. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I had to operate on two patients in one room because of lack of OR rooms and the mass casualties.
So minimal supplies, very little sanitation, no antibiotics, as I understand it. I guess if you have a stroke or you're on dialysis or any other medical condition, you're out of luck.
Absolutely. If you walk in the ED, we have any of these conditions, the staff and the healthcare provider are overwhelmed and they don't have the resources to look after that. Most of the people work in the hospital are surgeons and geared toward trauma, if you will.
I want to ask you about a young child named Jacob. And that's not his real name. That's a name you gave him. Tell us what you know about Jacob's story.
So the morning, I think it's day four when I was there, we had a mass casualties that came in. One of them is almost a two-year-old that came alone. No family members with him at all. He was barely breathing. And so we tried our best to rescue the two-year-old, and we couldn't. We didn't have a name for him. We found out later that all his family were killed. So he was alone, and I had to pronounce him dead. And at that time, it struck me, this is a kid. It just broke my heart, and I thought of him as my son. So I had to give him a name. So I called him Jacob, and that's what I named my son if I had one. I had a beautiful daughter. And so I carried him and held him very close to my chest and teared for him and mourned him, because this is a human being that has a story, has a family, has a name, but he has no one at this point. So I held him very close to my heart for a few minutes. I said the last prayers for him and then wrapped him in a white cloth, and the team took him for burial. So that's one of many, many, many kids that unfortunately are the victims of this war.
Well, about half of the population in Gaza is children.
About 40%. Yeah. Right.
What is it like for them there besides little Jacob, the other kids that you met?
Terrified. The terror in their eyes. And some of the kids just don't talk from the trauma. They're just closed up. They're sitting there. Some of them shaking, their behavior, literally just a manifestation of severe PTSD. Some have managed to kind of work around and work with other kids. My daughter, 7.5-year-old, when I went, she went and bought a big bag of small stuffies and lollipops. And so I used to walk around and try to give these kids, and just to see the smile. They have not seen a candy for 3 months. Some of them have not seen food for days or water. There's no kid in the world, no matter what color, ethnicity, race, whatever, should go through that process.
Doctor, you are Palestinian. Your parents are from the West Bank. This was your first trip to Gaza. Is there a message that the people you spoke with in Gaza wanted you to convey to us?
They want, if all possible, just immediate ceasefire or a condition to allow them to access, at this point, at this moment, sustainable food supplies, water, medications, and prevent all this terror that they're going through every day. They have nothing at this point, no homes, nothing. And so they want the world to remember as humans. Humans with names, feelings, and stories. And they're not Hamas. This is the most important point. They're not Hamas, and they're not supportive of Hamas. And most Gazans don't approve of the actions that Hamas carried on October 7th. So they're caught in this process, and they feel like they've been a collateral damage for this war.
Do you think you'll go back to Gaza?
Absolutely. I'm hoping to go there beginning of March. I'm helping in all the other groups that trying to enter the Gaza, from providing information and details about the logistics. When I left Gaza, my body left Gaza, but my heart, my soul, and my spirit stayed there until today there. And every morning and every evening, every moment of the day, I try to reach out to the people over there and check on them. And if I could do it and make a difference, I would never hesitate. Once you see these scenes and interact with these people, your heart goes out to them.
We've been talking with Dr. David Husson. He's a neurosurgeon who was in Gaza last month providing treatment. Dr. Husson, thank you.
My pleasure.